Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, Texts 10 through 13. The first, from 10 to 12, there are no purports. I'll just read the sloka and the translations. Then we'll repeat text 13 together. Divyashrag ambaralepa ratnabharanabhushita Danu Shulena Charmasi Shankar Chakra Gadadara Siddha Charana Gandharvair Apsara Kinara Rogai Uparita Rubalibi Stuyaman Nedam Abravit. Translation. The goddess Durga was decorated with flower garlands, smeared with sandalwood pulp, and dressed with excellent garments and ornaments made of valuable jewels. Holding in her hands a bow, a trident, arrows, a shield, a sword, a conch shell, a disc, and a club, and being praised by celestial beings like apsaras, kinaras, uragas, siddhas, charanas, and gandharvas, who worshipped her with all kinds of presentations, she spoke as follows. Text 12. Kim maya hataya manda jata kalu tavanta krit yatra kvava purva shatrur ma kimsi kripana vrita. Translation. O Kamsa, you fool, what will be the use of killing me? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has been your enemy from the very beginning, and who will certainly kill you, has already taken his birth somewhere else. Therefore, do not unnecessarily kill other children. Now, text 13, we can recite this together. Iti prabhasyatam devi. Maya Bhagavati Bhuvi Bahunama Niketeshu Bahunama Babuvaha. Word for word translation. Iti, in this way, Prabhasya, addressing Tam, Kamsa, Devi, the goddess Durga, Maya, Yogamaya, Bhagavati, possessing immense power like that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhuvi, on the surface of the earth. Bahunama, of different names. Niketeshu, in different places. Bahunama, different names. Babuva, became. Ha, indeed. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After speaking to Kamsa in this way, the goddess Durga, Yogamaya, appeared in different places, such as Varanasi, and became celebrated by different names, such as Annapurna, Durga, Kali, and Bhadra. Purport. The goddess Durga is celebrated in Calcutta as Kali, in Bombay as Mumba Devi, in Varanasi as Annapurna, in Cuttack as Bhadra Kali, and in Ahmedabad as Bhadra. Thus, in different places, she is known by different names. Her devotees are known as Shaktas, or worshippers of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas worshippers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself are called Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are destined to return home back to Godhead in the spiritual world, whereas the Shaktas are destined to live within this material world to enjoy different types of material happiness. In the material world, the living entity must accept different types of bodies. Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya, Bhagavad Gita 18:61. According to the living entity's desire, Yoga Maya or Maya, the goddess Durga, gives him a particular type of body, which is mentioned as Yantra, a machine. But the living entities who are promoted to the spiritual world do not return to the prison house of a material body. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjuna. The words janma na eti indicate that these living entities remain in their original spiritual bodies to enjoy the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental abodes Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So these particular verses today are describing the opulence of the expansion of Yogamaya, who is called Durga. This particular activity, when Yogamaya is brought from Vrindavan, Gokul, to Mathura in the form of Durga Devi or Mahamaya, and Kamsa ruthlessly grabs her from Mother Devaki and, raising her in the air, tries to dash her on the stone to kill her, as he had done with six previous babies. It was very easy to kill a newborn baby. They're completely helpless. So he thought this was going to be just as easy. But he didn't realize who was in his arms at that time. So when he lifted her up to dash her to the stone, she flew up in the sky and manifested this beautiful form, decorated with ornaments, valuable jewels, and so many weapons in her arms. She had eight arms. The different forms of Mahamaya, or the expansions of Yogamaya, each one of them has different symbols, just as the different forms of Vishnu have different symbols. And just as we celebrate Lord Krishna with the Das Avatar, so the Shaktas celebrate Durga Devi with nine avatars. And each one of them has different insignias, different number of arms. For instance, the first, when we have the Navaratri here twice a year, each night is dedicated to a particular avatar of Durga. The first night is dedicated to Parvati, who only has two arms. And then like that, each night, just as Prabhupada described here, when Durga Devi flew into the sky to escape Kamsa, so she expanded into different forms, into different places where she's even to this day being worshipped. Now this particular form, when she escaped from Kamsa in Mathura, this form of Durga Devi went to a particular place, and that was Vindhyachal. Vindhyachala is between Madhya Pradesh and Uttar Pradesh, just near Mirzapur district. It's low mountains, about 900 meters long, kilometers long, excuse me. And there are rivers flowing on each side. Now, why did she go there? She took shelter there of the king of Vindhya. It's Maharaj Vindhya. And there is a beautiful temple. Many, many Shaktas go there to worship her daily. Just as they're thronging here after this lockdown, we've never seen such crowds at this time of year. So there also, the people go to worship this Vindhya Vasini. That's her name there. Now, we may wonder, how is it that from Yogamaya, who never leaves Vrindavan, just as Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, how is it that she is able to expand just as Krishna expands into so many different forms? Now, Prabhupada once asked that about Vrindadevi, that Vrindadevi is there eternally overseeing as Lila Shakti the pastimes of the Lord. How does she expand as Tulsi Devi all over the world? And Prabhupada explained that it's just like television images. You have the original, and then in the television, unnumbered limited of televisions, you can see that same image. So Krishna, Rupa Goswami, he gives in-depth understanding of this particular verse in several of his books. So in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan, out of his holy dham. And when he leaves, for instance, when he appeared as Yadu Kumar, the son of Vasudev, that was one of his plenary expansions. And therefore, when Vasudev brought him to Gokul, he merged into that original form of Krishna. So in the exact same way, because Krishna earlier, in verse 9, Yogamaya is called Anuja. Anu means to follow, and Ja means birth, just like the word Janma. So she followed the birth of Krishna. She was the younger sister of Krishna. Now, this isn't elaborated upon in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Sukadeva Goswami didn't have much time to give all of the details. And that's why we have the mercy of the acharyas to explain to us actually each word of these slokas. So Rupa Goswami, he goes into so much detail about what happens after Durga Devi escapes and takes the form of Vindhya Vasini. There's a beautiful drama that Rupa Goswami wrote called Lalita Madhava. In the first scene of the first act, Rupa Goswami explains exactly what happens after this. The purpose of this entire drama is to marry Radha and Krishna. This is what this the a conversation between Purnamasi, who is Yogamaya herself. She's the mother of Sandipani Muni, and she's the disciple of Narada Muni. And her granddaughter, her name is Gargi. She's the daughter of Sandipani Muni. Now, Narada Muni advised Purnamasi to come to Gokul because Krishna was about to take birth. So she immediately gave up her family in Ujjain, Avantipur, and came here to live. She wanted to see all the pastimes. All of the leela of Krishna in the spiritual world is directed by the Yogamaya potency. Therefore, she never leaves. So this particular form of Yogamaya, and Yogamaya has 16 major expansions, this Vindhyavasini, this particular Durga expansion being one of them, Subhadra, when Vindhyavasini wanted to take part in Krishna Balaram's pastimes later, she took the form as the daughter of Devaki Subhadra. She's another expansion of Yogamaya, and that's why in Jagannath Puri, we worship the three siblings, Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. They're all brothers and sisters, mother being Devaki and Vasudev. So, Purnamasi, she explains what happened after Durga flew to the Vindhyachala. You see, when Kamsa saw that his worshipable deity, Durga Devi, had appeared to him. He was struck with wonder, first of all, that his deity appeared to him and spoke to him. Second of all, that his own sister had become the mother of his worshipable deity. So then he began to honor his own sister, and he profusely apologized to Vasudeva and Devaki for killing their children, for imprisoning them, for all the horrendous things that he did. But the next morning, when he met with his ministers to tell them what happened, the ministers completely warped his mind, and because they were anxious to persecute the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, the cows, they wanted everyone killed, because they knew that all of these pious personalities were parts of the body of Vishnu, and Vishnu was their enemy. Vishnu was going to come to kill their king. So they recommended, instead of pardoning Vasudeva and Devaki, that they persecute every single devotee, cow, Brahmin, stop all the yagyas, kill all the children that have been killed within born within 10 days. And because Kamsa was by nature demoniac, he accepted their advice. And he started to call. One of his ministers was a woman, Putana. He called Putana first. And her job, he gave her two responsibilities. That any extraordinary little boys that had been born within the last 10 days or more, she should kill them. And any young girls that had been born, she should kidnap them. Now, why did he give those two advices and orders to Putana? That Purnamasi explains, and she expands upon this particular verse. Because this is one small verse where earlier, verse 12, where Durga Devi is speaking to Kamsa, calling him a fool, that the cause of your death has already been born. Don't kill any more children. So Purnamasi explains that what Durga Devi said along with this was she told Kamsa that that person who, with his chakra raised in his hand, cut off your head in battle, that person who the sages know to be the worshipable lord of the demigods, that person who gives bliss to all of his devotees, and that person who is the root of the universe, he has already taken birth at the time of the rising of the moon. That was the first sloka that Durga Devi spoke to Kamsa in expansion of what's being spoken here. Then she explained to Kamsa that within a day or two, the Shaktis of the Lord will also appear. Eight Shaktis will appear. And amongst these Shaktis, two sisters will marry the Supreme Lord. So because Kamsa heard that from his worshipable deity Durga, he advised Putana that you kill the boys and you kidnap the girls. Kamsa was very interested to get those Shaktis. He wanted to make sure that they were in his possession, not in the Lord's possession, because he wanted to kill the Lord. And naturally, like all demons, they want to enjoy the consorts of the Lord. So Putana went flying. Now, meanwhile, this Vindhyaraj, he was a great mountain, but he had rivals even within his own family. His first rival was Mount Meru, the greatest of all mountains, and he tried to become even greater than Mount Meru. This is in the histories. He grew and grew and grew until the people, everyone within the Bharatvarsha became afflicted because he grew so high that the sun couldn't come, so they prayed for him to be in some way restricted. And Agastya Muni, he went to Vindhya Maharaj, and he said, well, you're so high now, I want to go to the south. I want you to bow down, get smaller so I can cross you, and when I come back and cross over you again, then you can become high again. So Vindhya Mountains, they bowed down to Agastya Muni. He went to the south, and he never came back. So the Vindhya Mountains stayed low. So that was his first rival. His second rival was the king of the Himalayas. The king of the Himalayas, Himavan, he was very proud of the fact that he had such a great son-in-law, Lord Shiva, because his daughter, Parvati, had married Lord Shiva. So in order, because of his rivalry, he prayed to Lord Brahma, Vindhya Maharaj, that you give me a daughter that will marry a son-in-law even greater than Lord Shiva. So Brahmaji, he gave the benediction that I will give you two daughters, and they will marry the person who can defeat Lord Shiva. There's only one person such as that, that's Lord Krishna. So how did he arrange for these two daughters? This Purnamasi explains to Gargi that here in Braj, there were two great kings, Vrishabhanu and his brother Chandrabhanu, and they had a benediction from Durvasa Muni that they would give birth to the great, most beautiful, most attractive of the Shaktis, that's Radharani to Vrishabhanu and Chandravali to Chandrabhanu. And they would be like sisters because Vrishabhanu and Chandrabhanu were brothers. So while they were in the womb of their mother, Lord Brahma requested Yogamaya, the same Yogamaya that was able to transfer Balaram into the womb of Rohini. Brahma requested Yogamaya that you take these two young girls within the womb and you transfer them to the womb of Vindhya Maharaj's wife. That way, they can fulfill the benediction that I've given to Vindhya Maharaj. So Chandravali and Radharani were taken to Vindhya Chal, and they were within the womb of Vindhya Raj's wife. When they were born at that time, Putana, she had started her rampage to kill the children. Her first victim amongst the girls was Chandravali. So she kidnapped Chandravali. She was flying with her in the sky. And Vindhyaraj's priest, he incanted a very powerful demon-killing mantra. And when Putana heard that mantra, she became so afraid. As she was flying, she dropped that baby. That baby was dropped into the river Varda, which is just near, it's in Vidarbha, in Maharashtra. It's just at the city of Kundina. We have a temple there, ISKCON Kundinyapur, and that's considered the birthplace of Rukmini Devi. So this little newborn baby was dropped into the river. Later on, Bhishmaka will find her and raise her. Radharani, in the meantime, Putana, she had kidnapped several of the babies, baby girls. And when she was killed by Krishna, and she expanded into her great form, Purnamasi found on the lap of Putana five beautiful girls, and Srimati Radharani, little babies, because that's what Putana was doing. She was capturing these little baby girls from all over. She found Srimati Radharani, she found Lalita Devi, she found Padma and Bhadra and Shaibya and Shama. Six little girls. So that means Chandravali, she was there in Bhishmaka's kingdom. These six little girls were found on the lap of Putana. And Purnamasi, she secretly took all these little girls. She gave Radharani to Mukara. Mukara is the mother of Kirtida. She said to Mukara, that little baby who was in the womb of your daughter, I'm returning her to you. This is Srimati Radharani. Now you take care of her. So she then came back that way to Gokul. And the other five girls were given to different gopis all around Braj so they could raise them as their daughters. Then Gargi asked, oh, that must also be the way Vishakha was brought here. And Purnamasi said, no. Vishakha was found in the Jamuna River by Jatila. Jatila is the mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani. It's very complicated, but this is how Rupa Goswami explains how all the gopis eventually married Krishna, because that's the goal of Rupa Goswami and all of the Vaishnavas, to see the union of Radha and Krishna. So now we have all the gopis back together again in Braj, except for Chandravali. So we know there's a great devotee of all the avatars. He saw nine avatars. He's a Chiranjivi, Jambavan, the king of the bears. Now, you'll see pictures of Jambavan. He looks like a bear. But Prabhupada said, no, he does not have the form of a bear. He has a form of a powerful man who's in charge of all the bears. So Jambavan, sometimes he would live in Govardhan, the caves, and sometimes he would go to Vindhyachal to live in the caves there. So he was requested by Vindhyavasini, that's who we're studying now, that same form of Durga. She requested Jambavan that you go to Kundinapur and you take this little baby from Bhishmaka who found her in the river, and you bring her also to Braj. So in that way, Chandravali was brought back to Braj. Now we have all of the gopis back here in Braj, and we have Krishna here in Braj for 11 years. And in this way, Rupa Goswami was able to explain to her granddaughter how Krishna eventually was able to unite with all of the gopis. Now, Gargi, being the daughter of Sandipani Muni explained to her that each gopi has an exact counterpart queen. And this play, Lalita Madhava, describes which gopi is which queen in Dwarka. Because Garga Muni, he recommended to Chandravali and her associates that you worship Katyayani. That's described by Sukadeva Goswami, how there's a particular portion of the gopis who worshiped Katyayani with the particular mantra. We just passed that month when the Katyayani Vrat took place in the month of Margashirsha with a particular mantra. Katyayani Mahamayi Mahayogi Nadishwari Nanda Gopa Sutha Devi Patime Kurute Namaha. So they're worshipping Yogamaya Katyayani to please make Krishna their husband. Now Radharani wasn't involved in the worship of Durga Devi. She was recommended by Sandipani Muni to worship Surya Dev. So that's why Radharani and her gopis would go to Suryakund and worship Suryadev. And Chandravali and her gopis would worship Durga Devi. And on the last day of their month when they worshipped Katyayani, they invited all the gopis to come because they were going to have a big festival, and that was when Krishna stole the saris of all the gopis and promised them all that I will become your husband. You've been worshiping Durga Devi like that. He fulfilled their promise. But when he fulfilled their promise was when these gopis took their counterparts in Dwarka. So Rupa Goswami, in his many books, he describes how these pastimes took place in such a way that we can understand how Radharani and all the gopis were finally united, everyone's desires were fulfilled within the pastimes of Krishna. First in Braja they were together, but Purnamasi arranged, Yogamaya arranged, that the mother-in-laws would always try to put obstacles so they couldn't be together here. Finally in Dwarka, all their desires were fulfilled when they married Krishna in their different queen forms. And then they were brought back, they were stolen by the gopas, we know that, when Arjuna was trying to bring them to Hastinapur. And in that way they all again returned to the spiritual world as gopis, when the gopas stole them again. So this is not described fully in Srimad Bhagavatam because it's very confidential. And we're trying to understand the activities of Yogamaya, how even when she was in Vindhyachal, she was still taking part in arranging the meetings and the union of Srimati Radharani and all the gopis with Krishna by having them returned after Putana kidnapped them from the different places, having them returned here to Braj so they could take part in Krishna's pastimes here. And then later, how they were able to marry Krishna in Dwarka in their queen forms. So now we'll try to understand a little bit about this form of Yogamaya, Durga Devi, that's Vindhya Vasini, the form that she took. Now, Yogamaya and Mahamaya. When Srila Prabhupada, it was 1971, he was doing marathon initiations in New York Temple. He hadn't been in America for 1 year. He had come here back to India to start the World Sankirtan Party. And when he reached America, everyone was just waiting to take initiation. Is that when you were initiated also? Yes. Marathon initiations, 50 devotees a day. That was not like nowadays 1,000 devotees a day, but that was very big for Prabhupada. So on the first day, Prabhupada was initiating the different devotees at the New York Temple, and he called up one girl, and he gave her the name Mahamaya. And everyone started to laugh. And Prabhupada said, "Do not laugh. Mahamaya is another face of Radharani." And everyone was so shocked. We couldn't understand. Now, the acharyas explain this, that originally there's only one energy of the Lord, one Shakti, the Ladini Shakti, that Srimati Radharani. The Mayavadis, they only accept that there's one energy. The Vaishnavas understand. Now, the example given by the Vaishnavas is two examples. The most explicable example is the Mayavadis will see a machine and they'll say the whole machine is made of iron. And the Vaishnavas, they will say, yes, the whole machine is made of iron, but each part of that machine has a different function. There's a piston, there's a gaston, there's a screw, there's a hinge, every single part has a particular function so that that machine will function properly, although everything is made of iron. So the Vaishnavas understand that yes, the Supreme Lord's energy is one, but each energy, Parasya Shakti Vividaiva Suryate. So Vivida means varieties. They're different varieties of energies to perform different functions. So all of the Shakti Tattva, all of the energies, originate from Srimati Radharani. She's the mool, she's the root of all the energies, just as Krishna is the root of all the Vishnu Tattvas. And as Krishna expands into his different Vishnu Tattvas, his plenary expansions, his prakash, his pravav, all the expansions, each Shakti expands along with that form of Vishnu. So there are unlimited Vishnu forms. their unlimited Shakti forms also. And therefore, even the form of Mahamaya is a face of Radharani, who has a particular function. Now, the function of Yogamaya is to bring the devotee closer to Krishna. The function of Mahamaya is to drag the devotee away from Krishna. There is a beautiful set of songs by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Kalyana Kalpa Taru. His fifth song is a song to Yogamaya, where he prays to Yogamaya that you please give me your shelter so that I can become a devotee of the Lord, although I am the most fallen. You please raise the curtain of Maya so that I can see the Supreme Lord and understand his pastimes. You please give me the association of the devotees. So the devotees, they take shelter of that particular energy of the Lord that will bring them, pull them closer to Krishna. The materialists or the Shaktas, they take shelter of that energy that keeps them bound up in the material world because they have desires separate from worshiping the Supreme Lord. Then they're put under the care of Mahamaya. Prabhupada explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that if we can understand the position of Durga, then we can go back to Godhead. Because Durga, Dur means difficult, and Ga means to progress. So Durga, she is the superintendent of the material world, like a warden in a jail. She does not liberate. A warden makes sure that everyone stays in the jail. But the king or the executive, they can liberate a prison if they choose to. So in the form of Durga, she keeps everyone very carefully in the material world, just as a warden keeps people in a jail. But Krishna, he can liberate that person, bring that person out of Durga Devi or Mahamaya's control, and put that person under the care of Yogamaya. So Sri Krishna explains those two different energies in the Bhagavad Gita in two slokas. He explains that this material energy is very difficult to overcome. But if you take shelter of me, then I will protect you. Then he explains later that the great souls, they have taken shelter of the same energy. And they're always chanting the glories of the Lord. So when we understand that the Lord's energy is one, but depending upon our desires, the energies act upon us in different ways, then we have to be very careful that our consciousness is always absorbed in pleasing Krishna, chanting his names, like the Mahatmas. They're always together, chanting the Lord's holy names and the Lord's glories. And then we're under the care of Yogamaya. And when we desire to have material opulences, and material relationships, material residence, then we come under the jurisdiction of Mahamaya. Now here in this purport, Prabhupada explains that different bodies are given according to our desires. We can either get a material body or a spiritual body. The material body is given to us, Yantra Rudhani Mayaya, by Maya Devi. Because we have particular desires, and within this material world we can get 8,400,000 different species of body to fulfill our desires. But when we desire to serve Krishna, then we get our eternal, original, spiritual body. And that's given to us by Yogamaya. And that's that body that enjoys eternally in the spiritual world with Krishna under the direction of Yogamaya, who's overseeing all of the lila of Krishna in the spiritual world. And then we also get to live eternally in the spiritual world with Krishna and his energies, spiritual energies. Now then Prabhupada explains something very interesting. He said that when Arjun was confused and he didn't want to perform his duty, he was in Mahamaya. Why is that? How is it possible that an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord can come under the control of Mahamaya? So Prabhupada explained that Arjun, he is also a jiva. And jiva means tatastha, marginal. A jiva can either come under the control of Mahamaya or come under the control of Yogamaya. So when Arjun was confused and refused to do what Krishna wanted him to do, he was under the control of Mahamaya. Then, in the second chapter, up to 2:6, Krishna and Arjuna, they're speaking like friends. Krishna doesn't want to interfere with all the reasons, all the excuses that Arjuna is giving why he can't do what Krishna wants him to do. Then he was in Mahamaya. He didn't want to do what Krishna asked him to do. Then he surrenders to Krishna. 2:7. You can see those verses. 2:6, 2:7, 2:8. Arjun finally says, I don't know what my duty is. Now I accept you as my spiritual master. I surrender unto you. You please tell me what to do. Then the whole scene changes because then he's taken shelter of Krishna, his guru. The first thing Krishna does is chastise him, that you're a fool. Why are you speaking like this? And then Krishna begins the explanation of the difference between the body and the soul. And we hear the Bhagavad Gita. Then Arjuna is under the control of Yogamaya. The conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita is, yes, I'll do exactly as you say, I'll fight. So we being jivas, this is why Bhagavad Gita is so important to understand, because we're also tatastha shakti. We can come under either of these two shaktis, these two Mahamaya or Yogamaya. Either we can perform our duties in spiritual life, develop our spiritual body given to us by Yogamaya, or we can refuse to do what Krishna wants us to do, our dharma, and we can come under the control of Mahamaya. That's in our hands. So this is the two functions, Yogamaya and Mahamaya. This particular appearance of Durga Devi, she's worshipped in many different places. When she expanded into different forms, and Krishna told her beforehand, when she was still in the form of Yogamaya, that you will be worshipped as different forms. He gave the different names. The different places also are given. Those places, Durga Devi is still being worshipped. She's also worshipped in different places because when Sati self-immolated herself, and Lord Shiva took her body and began to dance, the dance of destruction was going to destroy the entire universe, Lord Vishnu intervened, and with his chakra, because Lord Shiva was carrying Sati, Lord Vishnu began to cut her body into pieces. And those different pieces of her body fell in different places. Those are called the Shakti Pits. They're all around India, Nepal, Pakistan, even Bhutan, different places where the parts of her body fell. In fact, here in Vrindavan, we have the holy place Keshi Ghat. Now, we know that the word Kesh means hair, like the word Keshava, who has fine black hair. So Keshi Ghat is worshipped by both the Vaishnavas and the Shaktas, because they say that that's where Devi's hair fell, her kesh fell. And that's why it's called Keshi Ghat. The Vaishnavas say that Keshi Ghat is where Krishna killed the Keshi demon. It just so happens that it's the same place, so both the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas worship there at Keshi Ghat. Just nearby is the temple of Katyayani. Katyayani, that name is given because she did penances in the ashram of Muni Katyayana, so her name is Katyayani. So each of the names of Durga Devi have particular pastimes. where either she's, for instance, her different weapons that she holds in 10 arms, 8 arms, 4 arms, 2 arms, so many different forms she has, those weapons were given to her by the demigods, because there was a great king, there was a great demon, Mahishasura, and he got the benediction that he could only be killed by a woman. So all of the demigods went and prayed that you're going to have to kill her, you take our weapons and kill this demon, you take our weapons and you kill the demon. So that's why in different forms she has many different weapons, but she also has blessing insignia. She has the lotus, she has the conch, she holds her hand up to bless. So she has two different forms. One is protective and the other is violent. Violent not because she likes to be violent, but she's violent against those people who are opposed to the Lord's devotees. And protective, she protects the devotees. Just as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just as the gopis, they pray to Yogamaya. They pray for protection, they pray for advancement. So though we're not advised to worship Yogamaya directly, we're advised to worship Sri Krishna, Radhan Krishna, Krishna Balaram. We have the source of all of these energies here, Srimati Radharani. And when we're worshiping Srimati Radharani, automatically, all of the expansions of Radharani are pleased with us. So our only concern is to please Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. We don't have to go to the other forms of the Supreme Shaktis. We simply meditate on how we can please Radha and Krishna, continue with their union together here in the different pastimes. In Vidarbha, for instance, Rukmini Dwarkadish are worshipped. In one of our temples also, Rukmini Dwarkadish are worshipped in New Dwarka. So these different expansions are worshipped by the devotees. But for us here in Vrindavan, we worship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and we're very happy seeing them together always in the temple, serving them. Thank you very much. Question?
Generally, one would think a benediction is something good and favorable. So why would it be so cool to have a benediction for a woman to kill you? He says you get the benediction that only a woman can kill him. How is that a benediction?
Well, because at that time there were no women powerful enough to kill him. So they empowered her to kill him by giving her, that's why she had to have so many arms to keep the weapons of that the demigods had given her. And each weapon has a particular meaning, self-meditation, self-realization. But those weapons were given to Durga Devi so that she would be able to kill Mahishasura. And simultaneously, also the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas, we celebrate Dasara, Vijayadashami, because that's when Ram killed Ravana. Well, the Shaktas celebrate Dasara because that's when Durga Devi killed Mahishasura. So for the Shaktas, it's a great festival, and for the Vaishnavas also, it's a great festival. So that's why she's so powerful, because the demigods empowered her with their weapons. Mahishasura, just like all the demons, because they can't get immortality, they tried to trick the Supreme Lord. So he thought, well, no woman's going to be able to kill me, no woman is strong enough. But then the demigods empowered her to kill him.
Yes, please.
One or the other. That's why that example is there, Prabhupada gives in the Bhagavad Gita. First, Arjuna was in Yogamaya. And then in the second chapter, when he surrendered to Krishna, Then he was under the care of Yogamaya. First, Mahamaya first, then Yogamaya, excuse me.
Yes.
That's right, that's right. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.